Omar Bradley was one of the greatest commanders of World War II. He was a five-star general. He was senior commander of U.S. ground forces in Europe during World War II. He once said, "Freedom. No word was ever spoken that has held out greater hope, demanded greater sacrifice, needed more to be nurtured, blessed the giver more, or come closer to being God's will on earth." And who can forget Patrick Henry? Because of Patrick Henry's fiery speeches, he gained a seat in the Virginia House of Burgesses and was later sent as a delegate to the First Continental Congress. It was at the Second Virginia Convention the next year that he urged the colony to arm its militia, and in his speech he made the famous statement, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Freedom certainly is a cherished possession. All creatures have a distinct love of liberty, a love of freedom. Countless men have fought and died for freedom throughout history. Our country was grounded upon the desire for freedom. Freedom from persecution, freedom from want, freedom from fear, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. And these are wonderful freedoms that much of the world simply does not know. But we can be afforded these freedoms and still not be truly free. This is due to the fact that true freedom is determined by the scriptures, and true freedom is found only in Jesus Christ by properly responding to his words. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 36, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Christ's mission to the world was, in essence, to grant people freedom, spiritual freedom. In Luke chapter 4, when Christ went to Nazareth after his baptism, he stood in the synagogue and read from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, as we know it. Starting in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, we read, "He went to Nazareth, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives.'" In Isaiah, the New King James Version renders it, "to proclaim liberty to the captives." The New American Standard says, "to proclaim release to the captives." NIV says, "to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." And then the text goes on, "and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." There is a very definite uniqueness in the freedom afforded in Christ. One may know and experience the freedom in Christ while being deprived of freedom in other areas. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 through 22, Paul writes, "Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman." This freedom is without bias or prejudice, and it's without regard to position in life. Paul writes in Galatians 3, verses 26 through 28, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are all of you, each one of you, all of you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Freedom has nothing to do with position in life, has nothing to do with race or gender. It's no wonder that William Bowles once said, "The cause of freedom is the cause of God." True freedom involves a couple of things. It involves freedom from sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. True freedom involves freedom from condemnation. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 2, Paul says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And true freedom involves freedom from the law of Moses. Galatians 3:13, Paul writes, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're told in Colossians 2:14 that Christ fulfilled the law and nailed it to his cross. The text says, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. True freedom involves freedom That was a computer error. It had nothing to do with me. And that was an attempt at humor. True freedom involves freedom from fear. Freedom from the fear of danger. Matthew 28, verse 20, Christ said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Several times Christ told the disciples not to be afraid because he was with them. They didn't need to be afraid when the Son of God was with them. And Jesus said he's with us always. True freedom involves freedom from the fear of enemies. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, we're told he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? True freedom involves freedom from the fear of failure. You recall in Matthew 25, Jesus tells us that the one talent man said, I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. In Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't need to fear failure. Paul is saying that no matter what comes our way in life, with Christ's help, we don't have to fear failure. We can be victorious in every matter that concerns our faith. True freedom involves freedom from the fear for necessities of life. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26 and verse 33, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Then in verse 33, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. True freedom involves freedom from the fear of burdens and difficulties. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes, be anxious for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And true freedom involves freedom from the fear of death. Philippians 1, verse 21, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and that he might free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." True freedom frees one from the bondage of fear. People have had to fight and die for various freedoms throughout history, but spiritual freedom cannot be purchased in such a way. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." What is it that makes these freedoms possible, these freedoms we've been discussing? The truth. Jesus said again in John 8, verses 31 and 32, "If you abide in my word, you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 1, verse 17, we read that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The essence of what was given by Moses was law, legal decree, and precedent. The essence of the gospel is the gift of God's Son, grace, and the completed revelation of God by which one may have a relationship with him through the Son, truth. Error may deceive, but the truth makes one free. But it needs to be clarified that freedom in Christ is not license. License says, "Do as you please, and God will overlook it." This is a perversion of the meaning of freedom in Christ. True freedom is not the license to do whatever a person wants to do. True freedom is the ability, the freedom to do what is right, to do what one should do. If we're not able to do what we should do, and if we're unable to resist doing what we should not do, we are slaves indeed. We are in the greatest type of bondage. A person who always does whatever they want to do will soon lose the power. They will soon lose the ability to choose not to do certain things. They become slaves to their own desires. True freedom is having the power, the ability to choose not to do certain things because of the harmful effects and the consequences. What is this truth that makes one free in Christ? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." The truth that Jesus is the Son of God, the truth that forgiveness is made available only through his blood, is the truth that gives spiritual freedom. And forgiveness is granted to those who believe in him and who will repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, as we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. At the University of Oklahoma, for many years a project was underway to teach a 15-year-old female chimpanzee named Washoe to talk by combining sign language with simple recognition. Over a period of years, this chimpanzee learned 140 signs. Finally, the project directors decided that Washoe was prepared to conceptualize. This meant that instead of merely imitating some human's words, the chimp would actually express thoughts of her own. Now, you need to understand that Washoe was a pampered animal in the university's laboratory, well-fed, physically comfortable, safe from harm. She had security. And yet, when she was able to put words together on her own into a phrase, her first three words was the following, and she said them repeatedly since then. She's passed away by now. But she said, "Let me out." A person must want out of a sinful life before he or she can come to Christ and know the freedom that is offered. As long as one is satisfied or unwilling to give up a life of self-service and self-indulgence, that person can never be free in Christ.